Welcome to Dollars and Cents, creating your fulfilled life with Nicole Romito from Private Vista. In this podcast, we draw from years of experience as well as guest specialists to help you create the life you imagine. Join us in this journey as we enlighten and empower you to align your lifestyle to help you achieve your goals with a clear picture of your future. Now, let's get to the show.
And welcome to the Dollars and Cents podcast with Nicole Romito. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Bill. As we head into the holiday season, I wanted to revisit one of our most popular episodes on finding purpose beyond financial independence with our very own Jeff Toner. We sure hope you enjoy this episode as much as we did recording it.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Dollars and Cents, with your host, Nicole Romito. Nicole, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Bill. It's good to be with you. How's the day treating you so far?
It's good. It's good. And I will say, after your last conversation about taking care to make sure your portfolio is not overbalanced in any one particular thing, I have done that. And I'm happy to say that we're pretty safely allotted across a wide group of stocks at this point. So where are you going to take me today?
Well, that's fantastic. I appreciate you taking our observations and potential strategies to heart. So hopefully that will continue to work out for you. I am going to take us in a kind of different direction today. I've got one of my partners and long-term colleagues. I've worked with Jeff since I joined Private Vista nearly 20 years ago. So back in studio with me is Jeff Toner. Welcome back, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
And what Jeff and I are going to talk about is a little bit more. We're going to get away from the dollars and cents, pun intended, of our industry and kind of, you know, what people assume Jeff and I spend the majority of our time on. And what we're going to talk about is how, the purpose and meaning and kind of once you know your number or you've gotten to your number, kind of where do you go from there? So that's what Jeff and I are going to spend our time on today.
Oh, good, good. Well, I'm all ears.
Great. Well, before we start that conversation, in case our listeners did not hear the prior episode that Jeff was on, I'll give a brief bio. He's actually like one of the four founders of financial planning. He's been doing this since the 80s. He is one of the founding partners of our firm. And at certain points in time, he was our managing partner. So has led Private Vista throughout the years and continues to be a voice of wisdom and soundness. He still definitely works with clients and enjoys having the kind of conversations that we're going to share today. I know that's what really lights him up. In addition to Jeff staying busy with helping our clients, Jeff, why don't you just share a little bit about what Maureen and you enjoy doing when you have some spare time?
Yeah, we're, I guess this will be a very topical topic for us just because we're in the early stages of figuring out next stages and things like that. But, you know, we had three kids. We still
well,
do.
I think you still do. Yeah.
Yeah. But our baby just turned 30 last week, so you can kind of see that we're in a different phase of child rearing. So, you know, really what we spend a lot of time doing is, you know, with the family. We kind of have a broad extended family. We do a fair amount of traveling. We like to stay involved. So whether that's family or friends or some activities that we do on the charitable front, you know, we stay fairly busy each week.
Well, that is great. So why don't we kind of pivot from that? Because it has been, like I said, I've known you for, gosh, almost a couple decades now, which is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So it has been really fun to watch kind of you and Maureen personally move like to your next phase or continue to evolve. And then just when you and I have had conversations with clients, why don't we kind of start about maybe going back to how when you started out, it really was focused on like, how much do I need to have so I don't need to work for pay, or how much do I need to save to educate my kids, or, you know, it was always like solve for the number.
And to kind of piggyback on that, that was a fairly dynamic way to do things back in the 80s. So you almost need a historical context to that, because back in the day, a lot of people just had services in their life. So they'd have an accountant, or they have an attorney, or an investment person, an insurance person. They really didn't have anybody that was saying, you know, why are you doing this, or what are you trying to get to? And so it became, as I say to people, in the beginning, in the 80s, early 90s, it was a math problem.
Right.
It was trying to figure out, if you say you want to retire at 65 years old and you want to have X dollars a year to spend on, how are you going to get there? What are the things you need to do year in and year out? What are the most tax efficient ways to do it? How do you invest the money? You know, all those types of things that would help you get there. And so we spent many, many years with people doing that step by step by step by step. And we were pretty successful with most people getting them there to that number. But I think in the context of what we're talking about, the first part was people were worried about, will I get there? And we were able to help them figure out, are you on that pathway? Can you get there? Will you be able to have enough money? And we used to talk about, even back then, we used to say, our goal is to get you financially independent.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't use the R word, you know, the retire word, even back in the 80s and 90s, because our goal was just to get you to a place where you could, you know, decide whether you wanted to work from there on.
Right. Or for pay, right?
Or for pay.
So you didn't have to maybe work at the same earning capacity, or maybe you didn't need to have any earnings coming in.
Exactly. So even back then, I think the early part was figuring out the math to get you there.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if we were successful at it, it might mean that somebody who said, I want to retire at 65, we might tell them at 57, hey, you've got what you need in order to accomplish your spending goals. So they could be financially independent a lot earlier than they actually, the original goal was.
Right. Which is such, those are the fun meetings, right?
Yes.
And even though people at face value might say, gosh, that sounds great. I can get out 6, 7, 8 years earlier, even if it's 1 year earlier. Yes. So at face value, you might be like, well, great. Why wouldn't they just go in the next day and, you know, tell their boss, hey, here's my 2 weeks, or I'm going to get my company ready to transition or sell, things like that. So I think it'd be great to kind of lead into, where do we go with clients from there? Because what you and I have found is most people don't say, great, I'm going to hang it up. Thanks, Jeff and Nicole, or thanks, Private Vista. Right. Because what we have found is, what am I moving towards?
Right.
How am I going to spend my time? How am I going to derive meaning, a sense of belonging? How am I going to stay mentally engaged?
Yeah, and think about the people that we're typically working with or talking to. You know, they're pretty driven people.
Right.
You know, so they have the ability to focus. They have the ability to stay on task. They have the ability over multiple years to work at something.
Yes.
And what we noticed as we kind of got through those periods of time, it isn't unusual that someone in their mid-50s, that a lot of the so-called things that they're supposed to do, so work hard, save your money, raise your kids, put them through college, it's not unusual that in your mid-50s, you'd come to a point where you'd be, hey, my kids are raised.
Right.
I'm financially independent. I don't have to work anymore. And so, you know, for most of us, our whole lives have been following a certain pathway that I don't want to say is prescribed, so to speak, but Generally
but
speaking,
it kind of is, right?
Yeah. Go to school.
Go to college, right? Yeah. Graduate. Yeah.
Right.
Get a job, work your way up.
So the first time is, you know, in your mid-50s, a lot of times you wake up and you say, I don't have to do anything anymore. So what do I want to do? So the question, in a sense, becomes less obvious. And so you then begin this search for, what am I going to do? What do I want to do? And I think you've kind of broadly put it under that category of purpose and meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do I want my purpose and meaning to be? You know, and as we all know, people still in their mid-50s, 60s, 70s, we have clients in our 80s that still have a lot of energy.
Yes.
You know, so there's still a lot of runway left for these people.
Well, and especially too, as you talked about, if people are able to, they have achieved financial independence in their 50s or 60s. I mean, even at 70, people are in much better shape, better health. And as you mentioned, some still have a lot of energy and you could still have a long path ahead of you. So, you know, maybe your sport of choice, and if there's grandkids or nieces and nephews or things like that, that's only going to take up so much time,
right?
And probably isn't going to give you some of the other things you've derived from your career.
Correct. I think people, I know most of us when we go to work, I mean, it is effort and there's challenges and there's good days and bad days. But I think for most of us, we'd reflect back on our work as being an important element of our purpose and meaning.
Yes.
You know, and the things that we enjoy doing. And so as that element of your work life starts to dwindle a little bit, again, there's more and more time that you can have to kind of fill in the other stuff. The hard part about it is the answers aren't obvious.
Right.
And so one of the things I think that we want to talk about is that, one, it's a journey. It's not, you can't wake up on Monday and say, oh, I've got the answer. Here's what I'm going to do. So it's a journey to figure out the next phase or phases of your life.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times I know we'll say like to clients or even like there is no there. Because even if you decide, well, I'm going to do board work or I'm going to really focus on my volunteering or things like that, that might be the answer for like the first phase, or you might try it out and it might not be the answer at all. So there's a kind of a lot of zigging and zagging as you're evolving through the transition,
right,
and then into the next phase.
Yeah, and it may be the first thing I'd say in that journey for purpose and meaning is, don't worry that you get it right, you know, the
right
first time. And in a sense, I think it is a process of trial and error. So you may need to do a few things and find out, hey, I like this part. I don't like that part. I'm really energized by this kind of effort, where this other one is, you know, not as, you know, exciting to me as the other ones. So that is, I think, the nature when you're kind of, you can do almost anything you want to do, you're going to have to try some things.
Yeah, because that alone can be really overwhelming.
And it's hard even to figure out what to try.
It is, because I mean, you pretty much probably are starting with the proverbial blank piece of paper.
Right.
For our younger listeners, a blank screen. But I know sometimes when I'm trying to brainstorm or things like that, and you stare at that blank piece of paper, it's like, oof.
Yeah.
If you almost get, you do get paralyzed and overwhelmed.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the two things I'd start with in these comments, one, just be understand it's a journey. So it's you don't have to solve for it in 3 days. But two, you know, what we talked about is it's an active process. So you have to invest in your journey. You
right.
You have to spend some time, you know, thinking about those things. And I think, you know, if I look at where we are today compared to, I started in this business almost 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think if we had said to someone, what's your purpose and meaning in 1985?
Right. They'd have looked at you like you had three heads.
Exactly. So if I fast forward to 2024 and where we are today, and I ask that question, I think it's a much more thought about question these days. And one, you wouldn't be laughed at anymore.
Correct. Yeah.
But the other part, which I think is good news, is it's a subject that's being written about and talked about. There's a lot of material out there now that if you're searching for the answers for you in particular, there are helpful things out there, whether it's books or podcasts. There's people speaking on this all the time. There are, I'd say, things that you can use to help stimulate your own thinking and help you kind of start to put some of the blocks together that might be your particular answer.
I love that, because especially speaking for me personally, it's a lot easier to start with something because it just gets my mind going, either like, nope, that's not for me, but maybe this one kernel is, or it starts putting my mind to say, well, being on a board doesn't interest me, but wow, if I could go somehow teach financial literacy to grade schoolers, like that jazzes me up.
Right.
So why don't you, I know you've put together some thoughts on potential resources, and for our listeners, we'll have these in the show notes, but you want to talk about some that either you or friends or clients have found helpful?
Sure. I thought, you know, speaking about kind of building and doing the building blocks, there's a couple, they're professors now at Stanford University, but they were also Silicon Valley kind of entrepreneurs, and they had built a tech company, made some money, and then kind of had the money, but didn't have, you know, what do I do now?
Right.
Type of thing. So they sat down and basically said, how do you figure this out? So they actually created a course at Stanford, but now they have a book and actually a workbook that goes along with it. So you can actively read the book, but you can start to
do the exercises
to get you thinking about it.
I love that it's guided too.
Exactly. And it's the name of the book is Designing Your Life, How to Build a Well-Lived, Joyful Life. And then the author's last names are Burnett, B-U-R-N-E-T-T, and Evans, E-V-A-N-S. You can go on Amazon and buy the book and the workbook, and I've got it at home and I've gone through it. And it's really good for framing, you know, where do I start? How do I even start?
Because I think that, again, I'll just speak for me personally, but I've seen it even with clients and friends and other people in my life. It just kind of what's the first step?
Yep.
Because oftentimes, even in our planning process, it can seem overwhelming and you're thinking about all the things, but just taking that one step will get you started.
Exactly.
And moving in a direction.
And that's exactly what it does. And it even gets down to the point of, you know, it starts at the high level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you like to do? What gets you out of bed in the morning? All those kind of questions. But then it says, it tries to break it into bite-sized pieces to say, so if in your example, you know, I love to be able to teach financial literacy. That's pretty specific. But then the second part would be, okay, how are you going to put that into action?
Exactly.
Who are you going to contact? Do you have a course that you would use to present? Do you need to design that or buy that, or how are you going to do that? So it would literally have you create an action plan.
Oh, love it.
But it would do that again. I think most of us, we might want 8 to 10 of those types of things, because that's not going to fill your week.
Right.
And you may want some things that are, I want to keep myself in good shape. I want to eat well. I want to meet some people and talk with people I haven't seen in 3 months. So you might come up with a laundry list of 8 to 10 things.
Which I think makes sense, because that's how our life is even while you're working. And if you're raising a family, right? You and I don't just get up, go to work and that's it. So I love that it's kind of continuing the pattern and the variety that you've gone, you know, have had through life thus far.
Because I think and I'm speaking for me personally, I like to travel, but if you told me that, you know, I had to get on an airplane every Monday and be gone from Monday to Friday, then you come home. Like, anything done for me all the time would, in a sense, become diminished.
Right. It would lose a little bit of its luster.
But everything in variety, you know, every time I know I have another trip 3 months from now, I start looking forward to it.
Right.
So the variety, in a sense, is for me part of the secret of keeping everything, you know, interesting and exciting.
Keeping yourself engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a positive way.
Right. Right. So I would, you know, if someone's looking for a good starter book on that journey, I would start with that.
Great. For our listeners, we will put that in the show notes.
Great. There's a guy, David Brooks, who's actually a New York Times author, and he's written a book on this issue. It's called The Second Mountain. And his visual is the first mountain is your career. And it's kind of what you do, and you kind of work hard to get to the top of the mountain. And at some point, all of us start to go down the other side of the mountain, which is the end of your career, I assume. And his visual is, you know, how do you start climbing that second mountain? And that the second mountain in his world is, you know, purpose and meaning. And I think that part of the maturity of getting older, you start to realize, like, you don't have infinite time.
Right.
You do want to feel like you've contributed right. as much as you can.
Yeah. How are you going to leave your mark on the world?
Yeah.
Or right?
Yeah. He just goes through. It's a good book if you're looking just to get the mindset of the issue. It's well written. I think for someone in that period of time in their life, I think most people would read that and say, it resonates.
Me. Yeah. Or I can see parts of me in it. Okay.
Yeah. It resonates with it. And he does feel like that there's a lot of reasons to scale that second mountain, you know, like it, you know, I think back in the 50s and the 60s when TV was showing, you know, retire to Florida and do nothing for the rest of your life.
Right.
That was kind of what was sold to the general public as retirement.
Right.
And I think there's just a whole group of people who are like, that scares them more than anything. And basically his book talks about the reason to strive to get up that second mountain, which is, you know, fulfillment and feeling like you are helping and having purpose.
Yeah. And I think too, a lot of times I'll say like when I'm talking about like what fills you up, right? So what fills you up? And also how can you still stay connected with people? Because a big component of work, I mean, I know here at Private Vista, many of us have been at the company for many years.
Yeah.
So we have a social connection, a personal relationship, if you will. And then also, too, obviously, being involved in anything keeps you mentally engaged and stimulated.
Sure.
So those are big things that a lot of us get out of a career. And like you said, if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go to the beach or I'm just going to play tennis or golf or whatever it is, I can see then if people are thinking that's the next step, like why they continue working,
right.
even if they don't need to do it for the financial reasons.
Right. Well, there's the old expression that, you know, a lot of people don't do things because they don't know what they want to do for the next thing. So they just kind of keep doing what they're doing.
What they know, right.
And it's much easier when you are excited about the next thing to move towards that.
Yes.
And say, I don't have any more time, you know, for what I've been doing. I'm so excited to kind of And I think ideally, you know, it might be an ideal as opposed to a reality.
Sure.
But ideally, we would feel that way, you know, about the next phase, if we could do it.
Hey, pardon the interruption. I know you are listening to Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito, and we're happy you're here. If you have any questions, please head over to myprivatevista.com or the show notes to find out how to reach us. We'd love to hear from you.
We've been fortunate to live this with our clients and then both of us with friends or family members. Do you want to share a couple stories where you've seen what people have moved towards and it's been a success for them?
Yeah. And some of these are clients and some of these are kind of friends that I've seen do these things, but they all kind of have elements of what we've been talking about with. I had a friend that had sold his business pretty young, in his mid-50s.
I think that's pretty young.
Yeah. And he was basically, he's almost the prototype for what we were looking, you know, what am I going to do next? And, you know, how do I stay connected? But one of the things that he started to pursue was using the skills that he had kind of learned by running a business and seeing how he could potentially apply those in other areas. And so he came across another person that was looking at some kind of social justice issues, and they had worked in prisons together, teaching and educating prisoners. And out of that, one of the things they learned about was really, there's really no easy place for people that have been convicted of crimes to come out and get a job.
Right.
So they created a business plan that happened to be in the solar industry, but
okay,
it was going to be to put together a business where you'd manufacture solar panels. And in essence, they were going to hire people who were coming out of the system, the prison system, to be the employees.
This is amazing.
So obviously it's a business, right?
Right.
So people have to, you have to pay your bills. You have to get the materials and manufacture them, and you have to sell them, and you have to, you know, do all the things to make it work as a business.
Okay. Makes sense.
But at the same time, you had to take people that probably didn't have the best, they had a lot of desire, but they might not have had the skill sets to implement those at the business. So this particular person brought in his skill set as a business person, but also invested money into this entity to get the capital and get the, because that's another practical side of this.
Right.
So he was willing to use some of his own capital, so to speak, as a way to make a difference, create some meaning.
Right.
Create opportunities, obviously, for
those
people.
Really who don't have any or very limited.
And so it's been somewhat of a success story. They've had their challenges with COVID and China and things like that as they've had to, but they're trending in a great direction now. And I think he's really felt energized and good about the fact, I think they have 25 employees at this point.
Amazing.
And they're, you know, feeling like the future is going in the right direction and everything is working pretty well. So that was one person that I thought was in the journey and trying to figure out that. There's other, for those who are really looking from a exploration route, there are programs now at universities, kind of the major ones, Harvard, Stanford, I think Texas has one, I know Notre Dame has one, where people who have maybe finished their primary careers.
Mm-hmm. So they've conquered the first mountain.
They've conquered the first mountain, but they're trying to figure out the second mountain.
Love it.
That they have these year-long programs where you kind of sign up and there is a tuition, so it's not for free.
Okay.
But you basically immerse yourself in the university culture, and you take courses and you hear speakers, and you basically are asking the question of what's next. And some of these programs, like designing your future and building your future, those kind of questions are asked of these people. But it's a sabbatical of sorts. You know, I think people are used to that word, you just stop for a period of time and you decompress from your first mountain and you say, what do I want out of life going forward? And I know they did use that that book that I mentioned at most of these places, where they literally try to help them sort through those questions and hopefully come up with the answers, some of the answers for those programs. So that's another, you know, I knew a couple people who did that type of program. And then Nicole brought this up, but a lot of times as you get older in life, you get more out of life by serving others than yourself.
Yes.
I had a friend that literally just got involved with their local church.
Okay.
And the church had a fairly big outreach program. So that was kind of feeding your poor, clothing your poor, visiting people in prisons, okay. You know, all the things that you might think of, you know, potential ways to help. And that was what he did for about 8 to 10 years right after he stopped working.
That's phenomenal.
And he really, you know, he was a very bubbly guy. He loved it. You know, he seemed energized by the whole process every time I saw him.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I think, I mean, Jeff, this is certainly a topic near and dear to our hearts. As you mentioned, you and Maureen are actually personally starting to go through and start looking up that second mountain. Why don't I could sit and talk to you about this all day because I find it so fascinating and because there is no like one answer.
Right.
So it's a little different from how we do parts of our other job. But is there any, you know, we've talked about it's a journey. You want to figure out for you how to stay involved, look for you, and then, you know, kind of purpose and meaning.
Right.
So as we kind of wrap up here, is there any like one or two key thoughts or any other like nuggets you want to share with our listeners for those who are kind of at this looking up that second mountain?
Yeah, I think that the answers, so to speak, are going to be different for each person and the process is going to be different.
Right.
But I think some of the common parts is you have to be active about it. Like it's not going to occur to you in the middle of the night in one of your dreams, the answer. So I think you have to invest your time into the searching for the answer. I think, my sense too, is you have to be curious enough about it.
Right.
You know, so talk to people, you know, say, you know, what are you thinking about this? Or how do you think about that? So I do think between spending some time using some resources, you know, like we talked about, talking to people that you've seen go through it. Maybe talk to people that you know who are in this place and say, what's working for you?
Right.
You know, what's not working for you? Because sometimes we only ask the positive questions,
true.
But they might have learned some things along the way that didn't work for themselves. And I think if you see this as, you know, a journey and you feel like if you're making some progress along the way, you'll feel compelled to keep taking that next step,
right?
And you'll never get to perfect, but I think as long as you're striving for the answers, I think one, you'll feel more fulfilled mm-hmm. about it, and two, which I think you and I have felt in our careers, is the more you feel like you're helping people, whether it's in your career or out of your career. I don't know. For me, that is my secret energy,
right?
Where it comes from. So I know that whatever my answers are is going to have some component of that in it. It's going to be doing stuff for other people.
Right.
And I think that how it works for me may be slightly different from everybody else, but I think there'll be some common threads in
right.
there.
I agree. Well, I think that is a great note to wrap up on. So thank you for sharing your time and some of your thoughts and experiences on, you know, how to start the journey moving towards your second mountain. And hopefully it is filled with meaning and purpose. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was a really great conversation, Nicole. Thank you for facilitating it, because for me listening to this, I think this is the antidote or the answer to the question about, you know, the impact of AI on financial planning and financial advisors, because I think these kinds of conversations are going to become more and more common and maybe even more and more necessary, because the numbers part, arguably, AI might figure out. But this part, the human part.
Yeah.
Right.
Good luck
that's
with that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nicole and I might even argue that the numbers part's easy.
Yes.
We watch more people sabotage themselves, even when you tell them the answer.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
true.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah, no, so it's like, this is good. And Nicole, for people who are listening, you know, think maybe this is what I'm looking for. Maybe this is the kind of relationship and conversations I want to have with my financial advisor. What's the best way to get a hold of y'all?
Yeah. So there's two ways. One would be through our website. If you go to our homepage at myprivatevista.com, there's a contact us button. You can fill out your information, reference this episode. Certainly you can ask if you want to have a conversation with Jeff or any of our wonderful advisors. We all prescribe to the same philosophy. So that's one way, or you can call us at 312-831-4370, and the receptionist can connect you with Jeff, myself, or one of our other advisors.
That's fantastic. And the other thing that you can do, listeners, if you are listening to this podcast and are not a subscriber, is just become a subscriber, and that is easy. Just hit the little follow or subscribe button right there. And then you will be automatically notified every time Nicole drops a new episode of this podcast. You can give it a listen. And I would ask that if you like and find this podcast useful, you share it with people. Tell people about it. We would welcome a little word of mouth promotion. Until next time, I'm Bill Tucker on behalf of Nicole and everybody at Private Vista. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen today. And I will remind you that you can go out today and make today a great day or not. You do have a choice.
Appreciate you listening and wishing you a happy and healthy holiday season.
And thank you, Nicole. And for those of you who are listening who are not subscribers, don't forget to subscribe. Give us a like. Tell your friends if you like the podcast. And until next time, I'm Bill Tucker on behalf of Nicole and everybody at My Private Vista. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito, sponsored by Private Vista. Visit our website at www.myprivatevista.com or give us a call at 312-831-4370. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Private Vista is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC assume no liability for action made or taken in reliance on, or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced. Such data and other information are subject to changes without notice. This was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.